You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
That you're awesome. I'm glad I'm not a possum, cause I'm awesome. And that's awesome with Joe.
What is up, guys? Welcome to episode 38 of That's Awesome with Joe. I am your host, Joe. Thank you guys for being here as always. Couple housekeeping things. I think you guys probably have noticed we moved to a little bit of a bi-weekly schedule. We're actually going to go back to weekly soon. We have a couple changes coming again. More on that coming shortly. I also have made myself available after many, many requests, after about a year, on Cameo. So you can find me on Cameo. What I'm doing for it is I'm donating between half and all of the money from it to a bunch of different animal welfare organizations, some shelters and rescue organizations nearby, as well as some animal sanctuaries and actually rescuing animals from slaughter as well. So find me on Cameo, book me, we'll help out some animals and have some fun. So this week is an interview that I actually did, I think, a few months ago, and it just kind of hasn't come out yet. And honestly, it's one I'm not sure why we haven't put it out, because it's a really great interview listening back to it today, and I'm really excited for people to hear it. This is with Hiro the Hero. Hiro is he's so fun to talk to. We got to know each other very briefly when we did Shiprock together, but he was like Mr. Popularity on that boat. I think everyone on that boat, as far as like the bands go, like everyone that we were hanging out with, Hiro was pretty much everyone's favorite band. So I was really excited to sit down and talk with him and hear more of a story, which I didn't really know a lot about, and learned a lot about him, that a lot of stuff that's really, really cool, some really, really great experiences, and quite a bit I'm envious of as well. I won't take up too much time with the intro stuff. Let's send it over to Hiro. I'm here with Hiro the Hero. Hiro, thank you for joining us.
What's up, man? All good.
Cool. I appreciate you being here. I know you just finished up a hike. I did the same. Are you a big hiker?
Oh, yeah, man. I live right here in Los Angeles by the observatory, so that's a good spot to just go walk up and chill.
I'm going there tomorrow. I live right in Echo Park.
Oh, yeah, so you're in the neighborhood, man.
Yeah. I was in Elysian Park today, but I'll be over there. Mm-hmm. Right on, dude. Yeah, I do it like 3-4 times a week, I feel like, now.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's kind of the only thing to do around here right now, so.
That is the only thing to do, bro. Yeah.
All right, dude. Well, again, yeah, thank you for coming on. I think I'll give a little background of what I know about you. I think, like, I had always heard Hiro the Hero, the name being, like, thrown around everywhere. Yeah. And then Shiprocked was, like, it was blown away how, like, every single band that I would encounter was like stoked that you were there and like needed to watch you play.
That's so what's like, up, right?
Yeah. It felt like you were everyone's favorite band on the boat, you know?
That's so, of course, a lot of love on Shiprock, man.
Man. Like, you were like a celebrity there. Like, it's pretty wild. So obviously, like, I made sure I checked you out, and I was like, dude, your set is just so fucking fun and entertaining. So, like, I just had a blast watching you. And from then, you know, I'll be honest, I haven't like done a deep dive into the music, but I've kept on top of it, listened to all the singles, watched the videos and stuff.
Oh, fuck,
and dude, I'm like a fan now. I was telling Spencer yesterday, I was like, I wish like I had paid more attention to this dude over the last like decade because it's like so fun.
I'm still building, man. So that's dope, man. Anytime I get some new people involved, I'm digging it, man. And you know, like Spencer featuring on there, I get introduced to his crowd, and you know, Chad Mudvayne, crowd.
It seems like you've got it hooked up. Like, like I said, everyone's favorite band right now. So, yeah, but let's kind of dive into your musical journey. What kind of got you into music? Did you always want to like, was this the direction that you always kind of wanted to pursue?
You know, I started off in rap, man, doing, you know, just rapping with homies and all that type of shit. You know, my sister listened to a lot of rap. And, you know, she started rapping with DJ Screw back in the days before Screw became like big, you know.
Oh, wow.
And so I used to see them rap. And so my uncles, they did, you know, Caribbean music and stuff like that. So I always had the music in me, man. Yeah. So starting off rapping, high school talent shows, I always kill it. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, man, I'm good at this. So, but what got me in the rock direction, like in high school, a girl broke up with me. So I decided to take a rock song and sample it. And then I was able to express emotion. It was a Puddle of Mud, She Hate Me.
Yes. That's perfect.
Yeah, man. I got to meet him too, man. I told him about it. He was laughing.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Oh, he must have been stoked. That was the song that got you into the rock stuff.
Yeah, man.
That's great.
From there,
so that was back in high school.
Oh, yeah, I was back in high school, man.
So you were, like, producing your own music back then and everything?
Yeah, I had got on Fruity Loops. I had Reason, Fruity Loops, and we had an MPC and with the floppy disk, and we didn't know how the fuck to do no floppy disk MPC shit. So, and then Reason was kind of confusing, so Fruity Loops was the easiest.
Fruity Loops is definitely what I got started making beats on.
Yeah, man. For sure. So it's funny because we used to make, like, simple beats, and then we didn't think it was good enough because, you know, Timbaland and all of them had all the big keyboards and all this shit.
Yeah.
Now you fast forward nowadays, these beats got like three sounds in it.
I know. Just people on Splice like, just picking shit up, right?
I was like, my old beats was better than fucking the shit now.
I know. It's funny to think about. Like, I actually feel like there's something charming about, you know,
the simplicity.
A lot of this.
Yeah,
the simplicity of it in like things like Splice and just the ease of all these new DAWs and everything are really letting people explore their creative sides in like a totally different way.
Yeah,
I mean, even
man.
For someone like me that's played music my whole life, you know, those kind of resources just change my approach and workflow completely.
Yeah, I remember. It's crazy. Like I said, we used to think our shit was whack because, you know, Timbaland and all the motherfuckers had, you know, the beats full of stuff. And I was like, damn.
It's
now
funny,
took
like,
it away.
What I thought of, like when I was back in high school, what I thought I wanted in like a recording studio is absolutely nothing with what my studio looks like now.
Exactly. You can do it all from something. Yeah.
Like, and if my high school me looked at me now and was like, dude, you're using fake drums and amps and all that shit, he'd be like, dude, you're an asshole. But it is what it is. So you started off in hip hop, got into Puddle of Mud, used that as a sample. This was still in high school, right? You said?
Yeah, I was just into whatever was on the radio and rock.
Yeah,
so, you know, I was thinking that was just like, oh, fuck yeah, Nickelback, fucking Puddle of Mud. I'm rock and roll now. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I started discovering more and more as I looked for more samples. And that's when I got into, you know, like At the Drive-In and Rancid and all that type of shit.
At the Drive-In is one of my favorite.
Yeah, Bad Brains.
You ended up working with someone in At the Drive-In, is that right?
Oh, yeah, Paul. He was playing bass for me for a while, man. That was dope.
That's so sick. That's so sick.
Yeah.
That's like a dream for me. That's great.
That's epic, man.
Yeah. So let's talk about like that transition. So you were, where was this? Where were you doing this?
I was in Houston, man.
Is that where you grew up?
Yeah. So Houston, we was just, you know, burning CDs, trying to make mixtapes. That's why I decided to take rock samples and make a mixtape. And so I started grinding that. They got a little hype on MySpace and all that. And my old manager, my ex-manager, hit me up on MySpace and was like, yo, man, you should come out to LA to grind this shit. And so I was like, oh, fuck it, all right, I go to L.A.
So before you were in L.A., when you were just pushing your own stuff like that, were you seeing, like, local success?
Yeah, a little bit. I wasn't, like, taking over Houston or nothing, but I was getting, like, a little bit of fame with it. Everybody knew I was rapping. I was
playing shows and stuff.
Fans, yeah. But I was more – MySpace started building
up. Got it.
You feel me? So
yeah, yeah. That's like the beginning of the internet taking over the music scene.
Yeah, and then what I did was so new to people, you know, saying getting into people is like, what the fuck?
Right.
They didn't know what to do. And still now it's kind of like that. Man, it's crazy that, you know, I don't want to say I started something, but at that time I was doing all that rock type of shit in my rap. And now you see rap, these young kids is mixing the rock influence in there and all that type
of shit. Well, it's funny because I feel like it usually people go the opposite way, right? Like they pick up a guitar first and then they start liking hip hop later on in life and stuff. Right. And then they start mixing it that way. But you approach it the opposite way.
Less common.
But yes. I think that's key to your sound too, though, because like it definitely is a hip hop driven sound.
Yeah, I like to give it that style of hip hop. I like to make the songs like it's a little bit more heavy now, but I really like making it sound like I made a rock song and then I sampled it. You know,
so it, like it definitely gets that vibe. Like it's just got this energy and like grit to it that it like really pushes through. It's like always driving, you know.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
So that's what I like. I come from a producer mindset, too, even though I don't be making these rock songs. I can't make no fucking rock track. But Matt Good, shout out Matt Good. He a monster.
Matt Good's amazing. We just had a Zoom session with him last week.
Oh, epic. Yeah, he's a genius, bro.
Yeah, he's incredible. So you ended up going out to L.A. When did you do that?
I think 2007, I went out to L.A.
2007. All right.
Yeah, it was 2007. I had a song called Punk Rocker that was making a lot of noise.
All right.
And, so that song kind of brought me out to L.A. And then my ex-manager kind of put me onto more rock and all that kind of stuff. And then that's when I started doing, like, real band and, you know what I'm saying, live instrumentation.
That's when you started performing with a real band, you mean, right?
Well, musically, I didn't perform yet when I first came.
Okay.
Musically, I started doing that, involving that type of stuff. And so I got in there with Ross Robinson on my first album, Burst School Work Death.
That's nuts.
Yeah, and that was fucking awesome, bro. So I learned a lot with Ross, too. It's real natural. That first album, real natural, man. You know what I'm saying?
And, this was Birth School Work Death?
Yeah, Birth School Work Death. Yeah, man. So that one right there, that's what got me to get, you know, a lot of these artists liking me because it's like artist's favorite album, you know?
Yeah, dude, I'm looking at your personnel for that album. You had Cody Vadalato on it as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's another, like, I'm a huge fan of him too.
Yeah, Cody, Mark from Blood Brothers.
Yeah, and I love the Blood Brothers.
At the Drive-In was on that one. And my boy Daniel from Idiot Pilot.
Yeah, fuck, man, that's so sick. Yeah, that's great. Dope, man. That's cool. And then this was this album, and I had questions about this because I was trying to research it a little bit. So this was released. Was this an exclusive, just European release?
No, it was in America, but I mean, I got more love out in Europe with it. People was digging it. That's how I ended up out there doing shit because they was loving it, man. Yeah. They really got attached to it, bro. The shows out there and everything. So
what was it like the first time you went over?
Oh, that was fucking incredible, bro. I went out with a band called The Blackout.
Uh-huh.
The singer, Sean, he fucking loved me. So he was like, hey, you want to go on tour with us? So I was like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah. And so I went out there, killed it, man. That was dope.
That's sick. Were those like, did you play full band on those shows too?
That's when I did full band. But the first few tours I did, the rap group The Alcoholics brought me out.
Okay, so
that was dope. I was doing the mixtape material.
Okay.
Before I got in with Ross, I went on tour with the Alcoholics, man. Shout out to them.
That was just the US tour?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was doing like the rock samples, mixtape type shit.
What was that tour like?
Oh, we went Canada, some America. It was insane, bro. You know what I'm saying? With some legends like that and just to see how they rock the crowd.
Right. That's cool, man. You know what I'm saying?
Just real hip hop style. Fucking insanity.
That's not a bad tour.
Then El Nino brought me out on tour to Brazil, and that was wild. I didn't have no band. It's just if I was doing the rock songs with no band.
So what's that like when you're up on the stage performing alone? I mean, you've done both now, obviously.
It's more band, but...
Yeah, do you prefer it with the band? Is it just like a different energy?
Oh, yeah, now I prefer with the band, for real, for sure. But, I mean, I can still rock a crowd by myself, hip-hop style.
See, that's something that I've always been envious of, like, solo artists. Like, I just don't – I don't know if I have the
charisma. Yeah, the music will get you.
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, but, yeah, you definitely know how to, like, control that crowd for sure.
Yeah, man.
So Brazil, though, that's pretty dope. I've never been there.
Oh, it's epic over there, man. They still love me, bro. They got a lot of love for me, man. I seen them grow up out there too, bro. It was so long ago. I think it was like 2011, 2012 maybe. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them grew up, you know what I'm saying? They still show me love on...
That's great. Have you been back?
Nah, man. I can't wait to go back, bro. Yeah, cannot wait to go back.
Right. Was the last thing that you did shiprocked?
No. It was a... Was it? I can't remember. I think it was a Viper February. Room show. Yeah, I think my last one was a Viper Room show, if I'm not mistaken.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah. That's right before I moved out to LA in April, so it was probably right before I got out here.
Yeah, it was a Viper Room show, and then I had just made the announcement we was going to do the tour with Asking Alexandria, Falling from Reverse, Falling in Reverse, and Wage War. Yeah, that was going to be fucking crazy. But...
Yeah, that tour is huge. That's a great tour.
Yeah.
Fuck, man. All right, so let's jump back. So I was also, let's see, you released that album in 2011,
mm-hmm.
right? You did that tour 2012 with the Blackout.
Yeah.
And that was like your first full band tour, right?
Yeah, that was the first one with a band, I believe, Blackout. Yeah.
And then you did Download Festival too?
Oh, yeah, Download. Yeah. Did I have a band? I didn't have a band with Download. So Download came before. Yeah, I don't think I had a band. That was
I'm reading about it. I'm on your Wikipedia as I'm doing this, just refreshing my memory.
Oh, yeah.
It says you're the only artist to be able to play three stages in the same year.
Yeah, that's crazy, huh?
That's pretty nuts.
I forgot how exactly it happened. The dude who run Download loved me, man. So he put me on a stage, he put me on a rap stage.
So you were only scheduled to play one set.
Yeah, I think
and then
so.
You ended up with three.
That's crazy.
Damn, dude, that's nuts. That's great.
And so they show a lot of love out there, man.
For real. And so you do Europe, it's popping off for you, and then you come back. Did you do another album at that point, or are you touring the U.S.?
I was just touring, man. I think I did Flag Channel maybe 4 or 5 years later.
Right. That's when I did the Flag like 2018,
Bullet.
Right?
Yeah, that's when I put that one out. So, yeah, I was just grinding in between time, working off Burr School work there, figuring out, you know, my album, the new album, and all that. I made that one with a dude named Mitch. Fucking, he killed that one, Flag Channel. Fucking sick, dude.
Yeah.
You know, so I grew as an artist in that time and everything, learned how to structure songs. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you could tell if you listen to Burr School work that Flag Channel, and then my new
stuff I did it in order. Yeah, I always do it in order.
You could see, you know, me learning and growing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even lyrically too, and like the performance wise too, you can tell your performance.
The performance growing and everything. So that's dope, man. I love that.
You can absolutely tell. So you're just focusing on just refining your sound, your style.
I know how to make a song now. You get what I'm saying?
Right. Oh wait, we got to go back because I missed something. You performed with Wu-Tang.
Hello?
Is that right? Hey, can you hear me?
Say it again. Yeah, cut my back.
I said, did you perform with Wu-Tang in London?
Oh, yeah, I performed with Wu-Tang. Shit, that was fucking fun.
How did that happen?
I don't even know. hooked up. Yeah, Wu-Tang, I think it was Yellow Wolf and me.
Oh, really? We just saw Yellow Wolf in Paris when we were in Europe.
Oh, that's what's up. Yeah
I'm a fan. Yeah, he's great.
And my boy Bad Wolf and his crew, I ain't really talked to him, but one of my homies that he down with his clique. Bad Wolf, shout out Bad Wolf. Yeah, Yellow Wolf from Wu-Tang, that was fun, man. We had like two shows.
That's
a rap
nuts.
Crowd, bro, so I had to know how to switch it for them, you feel me? Because I had the band, and they're not used to no fucking band.
Dude, I had a similar – I used to play in this pop band with all these it was just like all these dudes from like, you know, emo bands in the mm-hmm. mid-2000s. It was just like a thing that had been thrown together. And somehow we ended up on like four dates with Joel Santana.
So you know.
and none of us knew what we were doing, right? Like it was like, seriously, we were playing like bubblegum pop. So it was like pretty, it didn't really work. And it was also weird because we were like, we ended up direct support. And it was one of those shows where there would be like, 15 hip hop acts before us, each doing like 5 minutes.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah, just a ton of hip hop acts, and then like just us, a bunch of like nerdy white dudes on stage, and then Joel Santana. It was a great time, though. Those shows are so fucking fun. I actually find the hip-hop shows, people are more receptive to stuff than at rock shows.
Oh, well, shit, Wu-Tang fans, fuck no, they weren't receptive to the shit at all.
Really?
They fucking weren't having it at first.
For real?
But that's how come. That's how you learn to switch up your show, because that's how I knew I came out punk rocking at first, and they weren't feeling it. I was like, oh, fuck y'all niggas.
Damn, I wonder if that would change now.
Now I'll probably be different.
Yeah, because I feel like that hip hop crowd definitely appreciates the like grittier side of stuff now.
Yeah, now it would totally be different. But at that time, they were like, man, what the fuck is this shit?
So it was not a good response.
Yeah, that first show, because I came out punk rocking, so I learned to switch it. So the next time I came out rapping, and then I started bringing the band in, and that fucking went off.
There you go.
But the first show, I just came out, okay, I'm gonna just go punk rock and see what the fuck happened. Oh my God, that was fucking horrible.
Well, you know,
they think they real hip hop, them Wu-Tang fans and shit. So they're like, oh, who wants your hip hop?
Yeah.
And then, like you said, with all the rap acts, that didn't happen on that one, but I did a show with Bone Thugs, some shows with Bone Thugs in Texas. And oh my God, man, yeah, it's about 15 acts.
Right.
By the time I got on stage, they were about sick of this shit. They didn't want to hear none. Bone Thugs.
I know, right? Yeah. That's like the worst part is like, yeah, everyone, if you're direct support, it's almost worse in those situations.
Oh, it's worse.
Yeah, everyone sat through like 3 hours of mediocre acts for.
Exactly, man.
And yeah, but you know, those shows horrible. Are still pretty fun. I feel like it's just a party.
Oh yeah, exactly, bro.
Yeah. Cool. So then you came back to US. It looks like let's list off some of these tours that you did. I see Hollywood Undead, All That Remains.
Oh man, that was fun. Yeah.
Yeah, those dudes are pretty fun. We just our last tour was with Hollywood Undead. We had a great time.
Oh, sick, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, them dudes is cool. I got a new song I did with them too. That's fucking awesome. But
yeah, I saw that one. Yeah, that's great. Those guys are awesome. Really fun dudes to tour with. Who else do you tour with? I got Mindless Self-Indulgence.
Oh, yeah, that's fucking epic, bro. Mindless Self-Indulgence, that was so much
pretty
fun.
Big, huh? Yeah.
There's some shows in Houston, House of Blues.
Yeah, I love that one.
Yeah, and the crowd's so different, bro. They come dressed up and all that type of shit, so... It's funny because I had like my hood come out, so you see this mixture of people in Spider-Man and beer suits and... Then my homies with, you know, the chains and the gold.
Right, right. Dude.
And it's all a mosh pit of all these different people. It was insane, bro.
I mean, I joined Ice Nine maybe 2 years ago, and the first show, we did like VIP, and it was just like a bunch of kids dressed up as like really terrifying clowns.
Yeah, sick. You
know? So I know the feeling.
Wild, man. And I got that tour from James Gunn. Because I had asked a dude, I was like, yo, how the fuck I get this tour? Oh, man, my homie James Gunn fucking told me about you.
For real?
I was like, who the fuck is James Gunn? And then I started looking up, he's a big ass director.
Yeah. So he did Guardians, right?
Yeah, so this was before he made Guardians, and he did like Scooby-Doo and all this type of shit.
Wow.
So he put me on that tour, and then I got cool with him.
Wait, so you got put on a tour by James Gunn, who's not really in the music industry.
Yeah, exactly. That's fucking crazy.
That's nuts.
He hit me up like, hi, bro, man, your shit dope, blah, blah, blah. So I was like, oh, cool, man. So, yeah, bro, it was cool. He used to take me to parties and shit and chill. It was so sick, bro.
So
and
he
funny
just
story.
Is, like, plugged in.
Oh, yeah, he's a fucking man now. But this is before Guardians, though. He was still the man anyway.
Right. But he was still doing stuff back then, right?
Yeah. He was doing big shit already. The funniest thing is he was telling me he was going to make Guardians or whatever and shit, you know, and I didn't really know about it. So I was just like, oh, man, that's dope. So I hit him up. I said, hey, bro, put my music in the movie. And he said, oh, man, Hyro, I'm using only 70s music. I was like, you lying motherfucker, you. I'm sitting here like, this dude lying to me, dog. And then the movie come out, and I think it's all 70s music for real.
I was going to say, I only remember 70s music, but that's funny.
Yeah, he found like a tape or something. Yeah.
Right. He was just a fan of the tapes. That's funny.
Yeah, so the whole time before this shit, I was like, oh, this James Gunn don't want to put my music in the movie.
Yeah, what an asshole. He only hooked you up with a tour, right?
Exactly, bro.
Damn. And so then you did Warped Tour. You did Japan. right?
Oh yeah, that was super sick.
I've never been to Japan. What's Japan like?
Oh, Japan's epic, bro. It's fucking wild, dude. The crowd was so sick. Bro, they put me on this big-ass stage, man. Yeah. So I walk out on the stage, and nobody there for, you know, sound rehearsal. Because you got other shows going on. And I'm like, bro, why they put me on this big-ass stage? There's nobody here. And then when I get out on the stage, fucking insanely packed, bro. That was the craziest thing ever. You know that stress, like, man, is anybody even gonna show up for me?
Fucking feeling.
Rihanna performing, all these other people.
So and it I was get like a there. Big festival.
Oh yeah, bro. It's called Summer Sonic or something. It was fucking insane when I got on that stage, bro. And they just, you know, that crowd, like, real respectful. So they just waiting on you to say something. They before the clap and all that type of shit. It's fucking epic.
So you have you been back since then?
Oh no, I ain't been back.
I'm always curious to see how those things translate.
Oh yeah, it shit. Once the music hit, they running with it, bro.
That's sick. And then you did. Damn, you've been everywhere, man. Australia with the Deftones.
That's oh yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, how was that homie, one, man? He
really?
I didn't have a band on that one. Actually, I'm fucking pissed. I didn't have a band on that one.
Man, I wish I knew you. I would have gone.
Because but that time Deftones. Was when I was like. Trying to just do like rap shit really in that time. So Chino brought me out to do like my rap and shit. And then it was me, Let Live, and Deftones.
That's a cool tour.
Oh yeah, bro. So I was like pissed because, you know, Jason rocked the fuck out and I didn't have my band to rock
nice.
Out to.
That so would've been, like, yeah. Oh, yeah, it would have worked.
Yeah, it would have been epic though.
Yeah, that's sick. And so then that's after that is when you started working on Flag Channel, is that right?
Yeah, that was Flag Channel time around that. Well, it was years after.
So did you see a big boost when you did Flag Channel?
Oh yeah, bro, that was wild, man. Because Bullet came out.
Yeah, that sounds a fucking banger.
And I think they didn't know that it would do what it did. You know what I'm saying? I didn't become huge like that. I mean, it hit on the rock charts and shit. But yeah, we just put it out and that shit just started going.
The video is great.
Yeah, that's
I mean, it's just great performance shots. I love it.
Oh, it's my boy Bryson. He did that video, bro. You know Bryson?
I don't know if I do.
Yeah, Bryson, that's Jacoby brother from Papa Roach.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, he was just on, we did that tour with Papa Roach and Hollywood Undead.
Oh, yeah, that was probably fun, though.
Yeah, he's great. He did a lot of cool stuff on that tour, too, like video stuff.
Hell yeah, man.
Damn, it feels like we're all in the same circle now, because...
Oh, yeah, it's all the same circle.
Yeah, everyone's playing on each other's stuff now. That's what's been great about quarantine. There's just been a lot of, like, collaboration between people.
Oh, facts, man.
Yeah, it's been fun. So you released Flag Channel. Bullet comes out. It gets picked up. That got picked up by Rock Radio, right?
Yeah, that was going for a minute.
Yeah, because I think that's when I started hearing your name around a lot. It was right after.
Sick.
Yeah, right after that dropped. And so what after you dropped the album, that was what, 2018, right?
Yeah, 2018. Yeah. Damn, it don't even seem that long ago, 2018.
Yeah, it's only like, it feels like less time has gone by since we haven't been able to do anything this year.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
So you released the album 2018. Did you go head right back out on tour after that point?
Yeah, Butcher Babies took me out on tour, Nonpoint. Who else? I forget. I mean, I did a stand, bro. I've been around doing shit.
See, you get all the sick tours. That's great.
Yeah, that was fun, man. Butcher
man,
Baby,
I'm jealous of
shit.
your tour history.
Yeah, my tour is crazy, huh?
Pretty nuts. You've been everywhere. You got some great guest features on stuff. It's nuts.
Yeah, I don't even know how the fuck I do this shit.
So you did Butcher Babies. You did Nonpoint. Who else did you say?
I can't remember, man. But I know I did some more tours.
So you did, that was 2018. 2019 was... no, we did. It was 2020. Was Shiprocked?
Yeah, I did Shiprocked twice.
You did in 2019 too.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like Shiprocked?
Oh, I fucking love it, bro. It's
you
insane,
do it again?
Bro.
See,
oh.
I had a tough time with it.
Oh, for yeah, with the boat rocking.
No, that doesn't bother me.
That bugs me.
Does it? See, I can deal with that. I like after a while, I just kind of felt a little trapped.
Like, oh, you do feel trapped, yeah.
Man. Dude, I was doing like I have the Apple Watch thing, and I was walking like 10 miles a day, just circles around the boat.
Yeah, you start knowing the boat.
Yeah, I just didn't know what else to do, so I would just be doing laps, like just saying hi to people. And
Yeah, you see the same person again.
right. And sometimes the thing that was tough is sometimes there'd be people that you say hi to and you have a conversation with them, and then it's like, all right, I'm over this. You gotta walk around, and then you come back around, they're still there, and it's like awkward again. You know,
that's fucking
but
funny.
It was a great time. Like I made a lot of new friends and stuff, and you know, definitely would do it again. But it was. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, got a little claustrophobic for a little.
For sure. That's why at the bar. That's why I just must. I go at the bar, get drunk, go to sleep. Yeah.
Dude, I can't. I can't drink like I used to anymore.
Oh yeah, that happens when you get older.
I wanted weed so bad on that boat. I was like searching everywhere for it, and then like the last 2 days, the guys in Cane Hill, everyone knows they have stuff, right? So they hooked it up.
Them dudes cool too, man.
Yeah, that was fun. That was cool, man. Like I didn't really know anyone on the boat. Besides the Of Mice and Men guys and stuff, I really didn't know anyone. So it was a good time. Made a lot of good friends there. And I think I've had like half the bands on the podcast now. So.
That's fucking sick. That's dope you're doing this podcast thing, man. Sick.
Yeah, I just started it in April out of boredom. So,
man, you know, I gotta get creative now. Like me, I got this Twitch shit. I gotta start pumping,
dude. I'm trying to understand it. I actually just had, it's not out yet, but we had, I guess it will be out by the time we release this one. So it's fine. We had Craig from Escape the Fade on, and he's like huge on Twitch. He's on there 2 times a day. He's done like 24-hour streams. I don't really fully understand it. Like I understand the premise.
I think you just put it on. That's it.
That's the thing, though. But like, I can't bring myself to just put on the camera.
That's me too, bro.
And be like, oh, I'm just making breakfast. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like,
I think you gotta have it running. That's how you get more props on.
Right, but it's weird because as a creative, you know, you're always refining to make sure anything that hits the public is perfect. Or at least to your ears, right? So I'm like not that dude that's just like, I don't write a song and release it the same day just because I'm too self-conscious, right?
That's crazy.
So I have that same mentality with Twitch where like, I'm not sure I want to put this out because I don't want people to be like, this dude's an idiot.
No, bro, you know I feel you. No, it's the same thing with me, man. It's a hard change in society that people like us ain't used to, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And rap.
I think we're around the same age too. So like growing up with the MySpace thing, that being like, I'm still in the MySpace mentality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I feel you, bro. Same, you know? Bro. But, like I used to like mystery, but these fans now, they don't give a fuck about no goddamn mystery. They want to know every single thing about you.
Yep.
You feel me?
Yep. It's just access and lots of info.
Yeah, but, man.
You know, it works. So let's talk about the new stuff.
Oh yeah, buddy.
So you've released, how many songs you've released so far?
I think three.
Three, and that was
We Believe with Damon Draymond.
Fight
with Chad.
And then Retaliation Generation,
Spencer,
right?
Spencer, fuck yeah, bro. Spencer did his thing on that.
Yeah,
that
he crushed it. I was texting him yesterday about it.
Hell yeah.
That song's great. So you, for the first three songs that come out, one, they're great songs. They really are.
Thanks, bro.
And two, to have guests like that.
Yeah, incredible.
Pretty nuts. How did you make those connections?
David Draymond was through my manager now. Shout out Mirko, man. He was with Disturbed during the beginning. So, you know, the song was just dope as fuck. So and it was funny, is I made that song like about 4 or 5 years ago, wrote them lyrics and shit. Mark from Taking Back Sunday made a beat, and I made that song to it. Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking wild.
Yeah, he always showed me love, man, if you have a hip hop beat. So yeah, send me a beat, and I had made that song We Believe on it. So but never did nothing with it, so I left it to the side. And then I had showed my manager, and he was like, yo, this song is fucking sick. How wrong? We just sauced it up. So we brought it to Mac Good, sauced it up.
Yeah.
He was like, bro, let me go ahead and get this little shout to David, see what's up. And David Draven was all in.
That's great.
What's up, man?
That's so cool. I love that. And then you had Chad from Hell Yeah, right?
Then I had Chad from Hell Yeah. And Chad had always been a homie, man. I met them during, I think it was Soundwave Festival in Australia. No, it was a download when I met him. It's a dope story because I met him through Vinnie Paul.
Okay.
I was at a bar at Key West. You been to that one? Yeah, Key West. You know how I got the bar down there, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sitting there chilling, Vinnie Paul at the bar. I'm like, oh, that's Vinnie Paul, dude. And then I'm just sitting there just kicking it, though. And then he turned around and said, hey, bro, you want a drink? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he didn't even know me. He was like, bro, you sitting there, you want a drink? And I go up there to drink. I say, yo, what up, Vinnie, man? My name is Hyro. I'm on this tour. He's like, what? I was like, bro, I'm from Texas, man. I dig what y'all do. And he was like, yo, you from Texas? And, bro, we just start drinking up. He said, yo, Chad, this dude from Texas.
Yeah,
and
awesome.
Then it began like that.
Yeah, those dudes are cool, man. I met Chad on the boat, and we hung out for a bit. He's a good guy.
Yeah, bro, so it's funny, though, because, like, I met them, you know, this is when they was really going hard, too, you know. So then right. I go to Australia, I see Hell Yeah again, and they, hi, bro, what's up, bro? Every time I see me, it's like, let's get party. I'm at 5 in the morning on the plane.
Oh, man. I want to party with you. This sounds fun.
Imagine trying to avoid Vinnie Paul and them because that was crazy, dog.
That's nuts. Fuck, man. All right, so you have that one, and then you got this new one. This one with Spencer came out like a week ago, right?
Oh, yeah. That was fucking fire.
How's it been so far?
Oh, the feedback's been incredible, dude. That, like, the feedback on this has been, like, moving real fast, man. I check my Spotify, it'd be, like, 200 people listening at one time. You know how
That's
you can
amazing.
Check the Spotify?
I don't.
Oh, I got, like, Spotify for
I'm
artists.
Telling you, dude, I'm still on MySpace time. For real. I can see the plays
Spotify
at the end of the
artists.
Day.
Yeah. See, the thing is, like, I don't even got the Spotify whole thing, but this one is where artists can see what the song's doing and who's listening. That's
gotcha.
Crazy. Like, live looking,
yeah.
bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking
That's
sick.
Nuts. So it's going well. When's the whole album come out?
I think it's all around touring, so I think
so
it's
no,
probably
no plans
back.
Yet.
Yeah, really no plans for
it's
that.
It's so
right
weird
now.
How that is. I've talked to there's a lot of bands that are now just pulling the trigger because they've been sitting on stuff for like a year.
Yeah, bro, it's crazy how this shit is. This fucking threw everything off, bro.
Yeah, well, we'll see. What do you have any guesses on when you think we'll be back?
I'm thinking next, as far as real touring is concerned, I think right next summer.
That's what I think too. Next year.
Yeah. Anything else will probably be like maybe little shows here and there with low capacity or some
right.
type of shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, hopefully by next summer. Yeah.
I think so. Fingers crossed. But there'll be a lot of good music.
Oh, yeah, everybody gonna be fucking. I wonder how are we even gonna do shows, bro? Everybody all at once, every genre.
I know. And all the venues are gonna be gone too, so everyone's gonna
That's
be
That's another
for that.
Thing, bro.
I'm all wondering if there's gonna be a resurgence of like a big touring festival like Warped again, just in order to handle that kind of stuff.
I wonder, man.
I think something like that would succeed now just because the demand for it.
Yeah, I mean, the last one we did, what's the name of it? The Rockstar Disrupt Fest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun, man. It was kind of Warp style. It was fun.
How many days was that?
Oh, shit. We did like fucking month and a half or something, bro. It was wild, bro. We had fun on that motherfucker. But I mean, like the we didn't get a lot of crowd and all that type of shit, though, until like later on because they put out the damn time schedule.
Ahead of time.
Mm. So me starting off the whole fucking shit. Ain't nobody coming till later on. Because if I'm on Tuesday, shit, Sum 41 playing at 8? All right, I'm going to come at 8.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't help.
That doesn't help. Word of shit.
That's why Warped worked out so great for people because they, you know, you see your favorite band at 11 a.m. and then.
Yeah, he made a fucking great idea by doing that, like just switching it up all the time and you got to guess. That was amazing.
And I loved, like, my old band did Warped and I remember just like kind of the politics involved. I won't say the name of the band, but there was a band that got in trouble and was, you know, just forced to open for like a week straight.
Because they got in trouble.
Yeah, you know, like they did some like stupid shit that they probably shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
And the Warped Tour handles it by being like, all right, well, you got to play before everyone else. I think that's great.
That is dope, man. You know? He the man, dude. He fucking came up with something crazy, bro.
Right.
That's funny. I remember when I did Warped, bro, he put me with the rap fucking MGK and Mod Sun once. And oh, Lord, I was like, bro, I can't do this fucking stage with them, dude. I'm doing this heavy rock shit.
Right. What year was that? Did you do that?
It was 2012. It was so funny.
We did 2011. That's what it was.
Yeah, I remember I was MGK and them fucking little fans. MGK, while I'm rather shut the fuck up. I'm trying to fucking rock out right now. That is
See, I think the year we did it was when I was 2011 or maybe 2009. We also did it, and Yellow Wolf was on the whole tour. That's how I.
Oh, sick.
Yeah, I would only watch him every day, pretty much.
And this is when MGK was young too, man. So yeah, I saw him the other day. He remember. He's like, "What the fuck, Hyro?"
Oh yeah.
That was cool. I didn't think he would remember, but he did. He remembered me, bro. Yeah, he's such a young boy.
He's like the biggest star in the world right now.
Yeah, he's killing it, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, well, let's do the end of the episode here, how we usually end. That's tour story stuff.
Yeah, so, I probably just said 20,000 tour stories.
Yeah, already. I know. You had a bunch already. I'll tell you what, like a lot of the ones that we've done recently and actually in the past, it's becoming a recurring theme, have been pretty disgusting. Like a lot. They're funny, but they're pretty gross. And our fans definitely have responded to them. We've had like, for some reason, there's just a lot of piss and shit stories, which I guess makes sense because like that's always somewhat of a struggle on tour.
Yeah, that's the number one right there. Bro. Yeah, I'm trying to find the bathroom.
Right, but yours doesn't have to be about that. It can be about whoever too, as long as you think they'd be cool with it. But we can figure that out later too. So,
well, shit. I mean, the thing is, you see how I naturally flowed telling stories. Now when you put me on the spot,
I can't think of shit. I know. Let's think. Let's focus on Warped. There's got to be some stuff on Warped.
Well, I think the coolest story I got with Warped is the owner was Kevin Wright.
Kevin Lyman.
Yeah, he's a fucking man, dude. So he, like I say, when he put me on that one with MGK and them, it was so funny because, you know, the crowd booing and shit like that.
They were actually booing you?
Oh, yeah, these little fucking girls booing the fuck out of
me. Oh, my God, man.
And so Kevin was just like, yo, Hyro, you got to perform this way to the crowd, you know what I'm saying? Almost showing. So you know what he did? He came on stage.
Kevin came on stage?
He came on stage with me, and he grabbed a microphone, and he was rocking and performing with
me.
No
fucking way.
How to perform, dog. Because he didn't think I knew how to control that crowd. I said, bro, that's not my crowd.
There's no way.
I wish they could do a video of it, bro.
I'm looking right now.
It was so fucking funny, dude.
That's fucking hilarious. So I cannot imagine
me and him on the stage. And he's like giving me tips in front of him of how to do the crowd.
Oh,
and
my God. So,
we fast forward to this Warped Tour, right?
Wait, hold on. How was he?
When
he was performing, when he was up there,
I was just in shock, dude. I was just like, what the fuck is happening right now, dude? This is crazy, and I can't get mad because
I'm gonna have him on and ask him about this.
Oh yeah, he'll tell you, bro. And so that's crazy. But then the dopest part, and how dope he is. Fast forward to this Warped Tour, the last Warped Tour that happened, the festival style, and we go. I see Kevin, and you know what he do? He say, Hyro, man. He said, I apologize for going on your stage that year, bro. I shouldn't have did that shit, man. I was like, what the fuck, bro? You ain't gotta apologize. You the fucking man, dude.
That's the thing
that he remembered, you know what I'm saying? And for that long, bro. That was 2012 all the way to, 2019 or whatever, that festival. And he fucking came up to me, said, man, Hyro, you know, sorry for that. That's amazing, bro. I was like, bro, you man. You ain't got to fucking apologize for
that's
shit.
That's really great. Yeah, dude, he remembers everything, dude. He remembered my, like, shitty local band from, like, 2007.
Seven years
later. We played, like, one day.
You know? That's sick.
Bro. Yeah. Nuts. So he knows. He's got his pulse. I'm sure he still does. I'm sure he's planning stuff.
Yeah, bro. I already know, man. If he do another warp, that's going to be... he has to.
Oh, bro. It'd be so sick. We'll see.
It's going to be insanity.
I would love to do that. And when I did it before, we did the whole thing in a van with no driver. Mm-hmm. So it was a different experience, you know? So I would love to do it now when I actually get to, like, hang out and have fun.
Yeah, I feel you.
All right, dude. Well, listen, thank you again for coming on. I appreciate you spending your time with me. This was a lot of fun.
Bro, thank you, man.
Yeah, of course. Before we wrap up, why don't we – do you mind just sharing where people can find you online and listen to your stuff?
Yo, Hyro the Hero, Instagram, Facebook, all that. And then for Twitch, Hyrule the Hero Official, I'm going to be pumping that Twitch more and more.
Here you go.
So, yeah, brother.
Yeah, I'll put all those links in the bio as well for the episode.
Oh, thanks, man. For sure.
Yeah, man. Again, thank you for coming on. This was a lot of fun. Hopefully, we're in the same area, so maybe we'll end up hanging out at some point.
Hell yeah, brother.
Right, and do some hiking.
For sure, man. I'm down all the way.
All right, man. Thanks again.
All right, bro.
One Hit Thunder is a podcast where we both celebrate and have a good laugh about bands and artists that had just one hit that we all know. Each week, we're joined by a guest from the world of music or comedy to learn more than you ever thought you would about some songs that you can't forget. And we decide if they brought the One Hit Thunder or were nothing more than a one hit blunder. Look, if you listen to the show, you're probably going to laugh, and I guarantee you're going to crush next time the bar has music trivia. Tag Team, Jane Child, Meredith Brooks, Looking Glass, Sean Mullins, Eiffel 65, EMF, Crash Test Dummies, Crazy Town, Chumbawamba. We have hundreds of episodes in our back catalog and a new episode each week, so pass the Dutchie, make sure you're connected, and subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your pods.